How is it that people end up broke, in bad health, and no sense of direction in their life? Most people, they don't wake up one morning and just decide, I want to do absolutely nothing with my life. I want to be in terrible health, and I want to be completely broke. I mean, not many people go to college to get that type of degree. And yet we see that there are people around who that is their reality. Broke, bad health, no sense of purpose, no sense of direction, in despair, highly depressed, all those things. Why is that? Why is it that people end up coming, even in younger years, to a place where their life is all jacked up and messed up? Choices have consequences. And so no one just wakes up one morning and says, this is what I'm going to pursue. This is what I want to happen with my life. But what usually happens is there's been a series of choices, a series of decisions that have been made that roll and roll and roll like a snowball rolling down a hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it just wrecks everything. Now, some people, sure, granted, some people, it just happens. They might be trying to make all the right choices to do it, and life just throws them a curveball. But in a general sense, bad choices add up over time to create a jacked up life where you're experiencing a lot of suffering. But what if there is a better way to live? What if there is a way that you can live in such a way that you don't have to worry about, in a general sense, those things where you're worrying about, okay, where's my next meal coming from? Where? I mean, you may not have like all the things in the world. You may not be super, super wealthy, but your needs are met. Maybe there's a way to live where you can know that your needs are met, that you have a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, where you're doing something, living in such a way that it's not just for yourself, but that there's a greater thing that you're a part of. What if there is a way to live to where you can know that even if your health is failing in this world, that doesn't really matter because there's a life that's coming where you'll be completely made new. And the good news is there is that type of life. There is a path that we can all take that helps ensure that we live this life that we could say is blessed. Solomon, when he's writing the book of Proverbs, specifically in these opening chapters, he's really trying to encourage his son, hey, live this way, go this way. Because if you go this other way, it's going to lead to bad things. You're going to be left in destruction, despair. You'll be wrapped up in all sorts of things that are going to end up taking everything away from you. But if you live this way that I'm trying to get you to live, the wise way, then you're going to live a life that is blessed. And so what Proverbs is, it's practical wisdom. It's how do we live in light of the truths of God's word. Remember that Solomon and his son, they're part of God's covenant people, which means that they have trusted God in the promises of God, the promise to send a Messiah. We, like Solomon and his son, are also part of God's covenant people because we trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so the truths that Solomon is teaching his son, they apply to us as well as we seek to follow God and live a life that is marked by his blessing and not a life that is marked by his cursing. And so when we look here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, we really see that Solomon taught his son that those who follow the Lord are blessed, that God blesses those who follow him. So let's read this conversation here, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. God's word says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would help me as I proclaim your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you conform us more into the image of your son, and that we can learn more about what it means to follow you in every aspect and every sphere of our life. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Lord blesses those that follow him. We've seen that here. Like, if you're following the Lord, trusting him, fearing him, honoring him, like, you're going to be blessed. There's these blessings that are coming your way. And so since the Lord blesses those who follow him, it would really do us some good to understand, what does it actually mean to follow him? What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to follow the Lord? And that's exactly what we're going to take a look at this morning, is how do we follow the Lord? And we see in verses 5 and 6 that we trust him. In verses 7 and 8, we're going to see that following the Lord means that we fear him. And in verses 9 and 10, we see that following the Lord means that we honor him. So before we dive in to verse 5, I just want you to notice what it says there in verse 4. He's saying, like, do all these things, right? Don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments. You're going to have these blessings, length of days, years of life. Peace will be added to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, remember the word of the Lord and the love of the Lord and his grace that he's shown you. Hold those things close to you. Don't forget them. Memorize those things. Remember those things. And what's it say? You will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Isn't that a blessing? And so follow the Lord, you'll live a blessed life. That's the idea. The Lord blesses those who follow him. So what does that mean? How do we actually follow him? Well, first, following the Lord means that we trust the Lord. I want you to notice what it says there in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord, but not just partly. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Trust in the Lord with just your pinky. No, what's it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with everything that you are. Place your confidence in him. Believe in him. Trust in him with all of your heart. Then it says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes we take this to mean that we leave our understanding completely out of things. Like, that's not what it's saying. This is not a command to never trust your own reasoning and your own understanding. But what he's saying here is, do not rely on your own feelings, your own understanding only. Do not only rely on yourself. God's given you a mind. He expects you to use it. But we need to understand that because of sin that remains inside of us, our mind, our emotions, the way we feel, they can lie to us. There are times that we can easily lie to ourselves. The Bible says that our heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. In other words, if you follow your heart, it might not end up good for you, because your heart will deceive you. It will lie to you. You cannot always trust your emotions. You cannot always trust the way you think. And so we must not lean only on our own understanding. Notice what it says, though. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means in every aspect of our life. Trusting the Lord means acknowledging him in every aspect of our life. And so no matter what part of life we find ourselves in, we are called to trust the Lord. And that means we don't rely on ourselves to figure out what is right and what is wrong. What the right decision is, we trust the Lord. What does the Lord speak into this? What does the Lord say about this or about that? We look to the Lord, we acknowledge Him in every decision that we're faced with. And those decisions are endless, right? When will I retire? And after I retire, you know, how am I gonna pay for my insurance, and will I qualify for Medicaid or Medicare? Will I be able to afford the house I'm in? Like, we have so many decisions that come our way, right? Should I send my kid to public school? Should I homeschool? Should I private school? How am I going to discipline my children? Am I going to spank them, or am I going to put them in time out? What church do I go to? How often do I go? All those things that are decisions that we're all faced with day in and day out. What job? What school? How to discipline? When to retire? So many decisions that we're faced with every day. And as Christians, we're called not to rely only on our intellect. We're called to rely wholly on the Lord, acknowledging Him in every sphere, in every circumstance that we come up to. And so, to trust the Lord means that we don't rely only on our own understanding, but that we acknowledge Him in every situation. And so, when we come to a decision that we're faced with, whatever that decision is, we have to, one, take a step back and ask ourselves, okay, what does the Lord say about this? What does God say about this? And then, notice what we're promised. Look there in verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He, talking about God, will not give you any answer whatsoever. Is that what it says? No. He will make straight your paths. In other words, if you go before Him, submitting everything to Him, trusting Him, acknowledging Him in your circumstances, He's going to show you the right course of action. He's going to show you the right decision. He's going to tell you, reveal to you what is right and what is wrong. He's going to show you which decision is best. Now, how do I know that? One, the Bible says it. Not only that, John 10 says that His people hear His voice. They follow Him. They know Him. Not only that, you're not a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not by yourself. And so I encourage you, if you're faced with a decision and you're not exactly sure which way God would have you go, find you some faithful Christian brothers and sisters that love you and care about you, and seek their advice. Seek their counsel. Because the Bible says there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so look to the Lord and take advantage of the blessings that the Lord has given you. His word, prayer, your family, your faith family, and seek the Lord's will. In whatever decision we're faced with, in all of life, we are faced with innumerable decisions that we all have to make. And to follow God in this life means that we trust Him, submitting all to Him, acknowledging Him in every aspect, in everything that we face in this life. And so we trust the Lord. That's what it means to follow Christ, is that we trust Him. We're confident in Him first and foremost, even above our own feelings, even above our own ideas. But not only do we trust the Lord, we're called to fear the Lord. That's what it means to follow Him. Secondly, it means that we fear the Lord. I want you to notice what it says there in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Now this goes back to chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, the beginning of all wisdom or insight knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord can mean several different things throughout Scripture. But within the context of Proverbs, fearing the Lord means to respect Him and to obey Him. That's the idea in the book of Proverbs of what fearing the Lord means. To respect and obey the Lord. And so he says, do not be wise in your own sight. Fear the Lord. In other words, we allow God to determine what is right and wrong. When it says, be not wise in your own sight, the idea is that we are not called to determine for ourselves what is right, what is good, what is true, and what is wrong. that belongs to God. God is the standard of what is right and wrong. God is the standard of truth. He is the standard of reality. We can't let the world dictate what reality is, because the world can't even figure out what is real. The world doesn't know. They can't figure it out. I mean, the world thinks that a boy can become a girl and that a girl can become a boy. Are we really going to trust the world to tell us what is true? No. They deny basic science that God created himself. We can't rely on them. We can only rely on God to tell us what is right and wrong. We cannot export our children out to other places to learn what is right and wrong. It has to be done in the home. It has to be done by the parents and the grandparents and the village of good Christian people that you have around to help them see what is right and what is wrong. But we need to understand that we, as those people who are helping to shape and mold the lives of children, need to also understand what is right and what is wrong. And where do we go to find that? The Word of God. That's the only place. It's so important that we don't just know what we believe, but we need to know why we believe it. Because there are some times that we know what we believe, but then we look at the Bible and we're like, oh, the Bible says something a little different. And so we need to make sure that when we think something's right, that it's actually right. We're not wise in our own eyes. We need to be able to back it up. This is what the Word of God says. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. We let the Lord determine what is right and what is wrong. Then it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so if you respect the Lord and you're seeking to obey him, in other words, if you fear the Lord, what are you going to do? You're going to turn from evil. You're going to turn from wickedness. I think about when I was growing up and I did not get near the butt whippings that I should have got. But I remember when I was growing up, there were times that I did not do something because in the back of my mind, I knew that I might get in trouble. Not just at school, but when I got home, it'd be a lot worse. I had that little bit of that respectful fear in the back of my mind constantly. I was out trying to clean up after a storm went through, and the storm had done been through several times. And me and this guy named Robert, we were cleaning up stuff, and we were picking up feed bags that had been scattered and this, that, the other. And we walk over, and we both grab the top of this burn barrel at the same time to lift this metal lid off. And as soon as that happened, everything went white. Our ears were ringing. We felt heat go across our face. And I'll just say, Robert? And he's like, Stephen? And I said, well? And he said, well, I guess we're not dead. I said, I guess not. He said, well, let's go inside. I said, sounds like a good idea. That close to be struck by lightning. Guess what I don't do now? I don't go work out in the middle of the storm. I may go like sit on the porch and watch it. But I have a little bit more respect for that lightning now, because that was a little bit too close for comfort. It's just a little bit too close. But I have more respect for it now. I have this respect for it, knowing that that lightning can kill me. Well, guess what? The Lord is more powerful than lightning, and each one of us deserve to be killed by him, to have our lives ended by him. And yet, in his grace, he allows us to keep on living. And so to fear the Lord means that we turn from evil, because it is on account of our evil, our wickedness, our sin, our breaking of his law, that we all deserve to die. And yet the Lord gives us life by his grace. And just out of the sheer gratitude for what he has done, we depend on him, we fear him, and the way we do that is we turn from evil. What's another word that we use for that? Big Christian word when we think of salvation, blank and believe, starts with an R. Repent. Right? Isn't it interesting that even back here in the Old Testament, we read about repentance and faith, believing the Lord and turning from evil. And so we're going to fear the Lord. We got to turn from our sins. Now, we were talking about this in Sunday school a little bit while ago. Doug was saying a lot of times when we think of repentance, we're just like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And then we just 2 minutes later go back to it and this, that, the other. Okay, repentance is not asking forgiveness. That's a difference. Right, asking forgiveness, that's confession. Repentance is, I'm turning away. So I'm going this way,
And then I turn around and I go the other way. That's the idea of repentance. Now, there's going to be times when our repentance looks more like I'm going this way and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to veer off over here and they're going to veer off back here. But the overwhelming trajectory of our life is that we're making that trek toward Christ more and more, where our lives are being made more into the image of Christ. We're not going to be perfect at it. And that's not to give us an excuse. That's to encourage us that even when we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who has forgiven us of all of our sins and is helping us to follow him more and more each day. And so fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Turn from sin. And notice what verse 8 says. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In other words, the Lord will sustain your life. And isn't that a general principle? Like, a lot of times we think about the law of God as just, he just doesn't want us to have any fun. He's a buzzkill. There's no fun involved. We just got to be serious, stoic, and have no fun as Christians. But that's not what the law of God's about. God's law was given to us to promote human flourishing, partly. It was given to us to show us right and wrong, to show what God desires. But we need to understand that God's law promotes human flourishing. Think about it. If you're living, breaking all the commands of God, you're living in blatant rebellion against him, lying, thieving, cheating, stealing, all those things. What happens when you break into the wrong house that you thought wasn't occupied, but it's occupied? Very quickly, your life might come to an end. What happens if you're running around and you're doing all sorts of wicked things and putting all sorts of things in your body? Well, before long, you're going to reap some of the results, the consequences of those things. In other words, God's law is such a blessing to us that it shows us how we can live this life that is, one, blessed, but also promotes this human flourishing. When we go against God's law, we need to understand that there are physical consequences to those things. And one of the things we don't think about sometimes is how even some of our health issues could be not so much medical as they are spiritual. Now, I'm not saying that we should just not go to the doctor. I think doctors are a gift from God. I think medicine is a gift from God, that God can heal people through the use of doctors and medicine. But I do think that there are times when we automatically say, well, I'm struggling with this, so I need to just go get a pill. When it could just be that there is some spiritual issue that is involved. It could be that there is unrepentant sin in our life. Because, I mean, the Bible is really clear here. Fear the Lord, turn from evil, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In other words, the Lord's going to sustain your life. Now, we need to understand, that doesn't mean you'll never die. Okay? That doesn't mean you won't ever suffer. That's not what it's saying here. In fact, every one of us, we are going to die. That is going to happen to all of us. But we need to understand that though we die, if we believe in Christ, though we die, yet we shall live. Yet we shall live. And so this blessing, along with all the blessings that we're going to look at, we need to understand we can find partial fulfillment of those things here and now. But the grand fulfillment of those things will be then, after we pass, when we see the Lord face to face. And so we trust the Lord, we fear the Lord, but we also honor the Lord. Look there in verses 9 through 10. It says, honor the Lord. You can tell I was really creative coming up with these points. Right? Honor the Lord. It says it right there. Now, to honor means to show that something's important. To show that it's of value. And so to honor the Lord means that we show that the Lord is important. And now, what he's doing here, though, is he's telling his son how he can show that the Lord is important. But before we dive into that, I want you to think of the words of Jesus. What does he say? Store up your treasures where? In heaven,
For where your treasure is, there what? Your heart will be also. In other words, what we treasure shows a lot to us about who our God is or what our God is. If I'm storing up treasures in heaven, that shows that, okay, my God is the Lord. But if all I'm doing is striving for things here on earth with no regard for things that are above, then that shows me that, okay, my God may be something down here. But he says, honor the Lord. And then he qualifies that with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. In other words, use your wealth to honor God. Show that he is important with your wealth. And beyond that, it says, give your first fruits to God. There in verse 9. And with the first fruits of all your produce. Some of you are thinking, oh boy, preacher's talking about money. Don't worry, I'm not going to be one of those health, wealth, and prosperity guys. Though this sermon almost sounds a lot like it. Okay, I mean, we're talking about health, we're talking about wealth, we're talking about like living this blessed life. But we need to understand it within the context of all these things. There is a correlation with how we spend money and what we trust in. In fact, you want to see what somebody really treasures, all you got to do is take a look at the bank account or the card statement, whatever it is. That really is going to show a lot of what a person treasures. What Solomon is trying to urge his son is, show the Lord is important with your wealth. Not only that, to give of your first fruits to the Lord. So what does that actually look like? Well, it could just be, I mean, so many times we think, okay, that means we're just going to pass the plate and collect money. And those things aren't bad things. In fact, we're called to be cheerful givers, okay? I mean, we're called to do that. And so I'm telling you that only because I do it too, right? Me and my wife, we tithe. That's because that's what we believe we're called to do. And so I'm not going to tell you something if we're not doing it, because that's one, hypocritical, and two, makes me like a charlatan prosperity gospel preacher. And I ain't going to do that, right? That's just not going to happen. That's not how you honor the God with your wealth. That's how you dishonor God with your wealth. But what does it look like? Yeah, tithing, giving offerings, but more than that. More than that. It honors God with your wealth when you provide for your family. Think about that. When you provide for your family, when you care for your grandkids, when you spend money on your grandkids, when you are working day in and day out to put a roof over your family's head, to provide food for them, you are doing what the Lord has called you to do, and that is honoring God with your wealth. Not only that, when you're trusting the Lord to provide your every need. Now, we understand wealth in and of itself is not a bad thing. Okay? It's not. It is not bad to be wealthy. When it becomes a problem is when the wealth becomes the focus. That's when it becomes a problem. It's when wealth becomes a focus. But if your focus is on the Lord and he gives you wealth and you use that wealth to honor him, and he gives you more, hey, that's just a blessing from the hand of God. Praise God for that. Not only that, how many of you in here have a cell phone? Right? Guess what? You're wealthier than like 80% of the people in the entire world. I mean, the cell phone in your pocket is worth more than these people have for a whole year sometimes. And so the Lord has already richly blessed us just by this fact that we live where we live by God's kind providence. He has been so gracious to us. And so count it all a blessing from him. Part of honoring God with your wealth is understanding he is the one that gave it to you. He is the one who has enabled you to work. He's the one that's enabled you to be able to put back. He's the one who's given you all of it. It's all from him, from his hand. And so we honor him with our wealth. And all of that says, give of your first fruits of all your produce. And so the idea is there, like, we give it all to the Lord, the first of it to the Lord. Now let's take it beyond money for a second. Let's think about what's the most valuable commodity that you have that you only have a limited amount and that you can never get more of? Time. Time. What day of the week is it? Sunday. Is that the first or last day of the week? First. Isn't it kind of interesting that ever since the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even the first day of the week we dedicate to the Lord to come together, the first bit of our time. But I would also encourage you about the first fruits of your day. Even if it's 30 seconds, thanking the Lord as you're getting out of bed, giving Him just those first moments of your day, helping get your mind right for the day that comes ahead. But anyways, we honor the Lord with our wealth, with our first fruits of our produce. And what does it say? Verse 10. The Lord will supply your every need. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, you're going to have plenty to eat and plenty to drink. You're going to have everything you need. You will not lack what you need. This is not saying that you're going to get wealthy beyond all measure. It's not what it's saying. But it is saying that you are going to have all of your needs met. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he tells the people there, he says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to lay your head. Right? The Lord, he's so clothed. The lilies of the field, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Think of the blue bonnets. They're here, and then they're going to be gone. Or sparrows. They neither reap nor toil, and yet the Lord provides for them. And he says, are not you more valuable than flowers and birds? And let me ask you, aren't you more valuable than animals? Aren't you more valuable than birds and flowers and growing, creepy, grassy things? Yes. You are a person made in the image of God. You are more valuable than all of those things. I'm sorry, but if I had to choose between one of you and my dog at my house and it's on fire, I love my dog, but it's a dog. I have to choose you because you're a person made in the image of God. God takes care of the birds and the flowers. He's going to take care of you too. He says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. He's going to care for you. Right here, we read of the same type of thing. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have what you need. He will take care of you. And that is such a blessing. That is such a blessing. In times when grocery bills have doubled or tripled, and you can be trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to make it this month on groceries? Or you know how tempting it is. Some of you know exactly how tempting it is. When you start doing that budget, and you do that budget, and you're like, man, this tithe, I could really use that in my bank account. I know you've been there. Because I've been there. We've all been there. And yet still having the trust in the Lord that He's going to supply our every need. And He does. Aren't you amazed how He does that? Now sometimes we don't know how it's going to work, and yet He makes it work. Man, the Lord is so good to us. The Lord's so good to us that He blesses us as we follow Him. As we follow His Son. Because remember, to follow wisdom means to follow Christ, because Christ became wisdom to us, according to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. And so as we follow wisdom, we're following Christ. And as we follow Christ, the Lord promises to bless us. He blesses those who trust Him, who fear Him, who honor Him. And He blesses us, promises us guidance. He promises us a provision. And He promises us health. And the only way to follow God is to follow Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in this life, we're going to have trials. We're going to have sufferings. We're going to have hard times. There's going to be times when our health fails. There are going to be times where we may not have everything we want. But He'll make sure we have everything we need.
We think of Paul. He wrote to Philippians. He learned the secret to having plenty and having want. Now, did Paul starve to death? No, but he missed some meals. Apparently, he didn't need those meals. He might have thought he needed them, but the Lord carried him through all those things. He promises provision, guidance, help as we follow him. But we need to understand, we only see in part now. Only see in part now the blessings that God has for us. We can see little glimpses of it now and how the Lord sustains our life. We can see little glimpses of it now and how the Lord provides for us. We can see little glimpses now and how the Lord guides us as we move through life. And there are so many times that when we go through life, we may not see it in the moment what the Lord was doing. But give us some time when you can look back and see exactly how the Lord has worked through all the different circumstances in your life, guiding you every step of the way. As you followed him, as you trusted him, he has never once failed you. And so we experience them in part here, these blessings. But we're promised that if we follow him, there is a day coming when our faith becomes sight and we experience the fullness of the blessings of following Christ. And so in part now, yes, as we follow the Lord, he's going to bless us. But we need to understand that as we follow the Lord, that leads to even greater blessing beyond the grave. There is a day coming when the Lord will return and we will be gathered together with him and we will experience the fullness of his blessing, the fullness of health, the fullness of his guidance, the fullness of his provision will be experienced once and for all at the resurrection of the last day. And so, the Lord blesses those who follow him. Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from trusting him? Is there anything in your life that is preventing you from fearing him and turning from your sin? Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from honoring him? Ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. And I'm going to be asking the same thing for myself as we seek to trust him and follow him all the days of our life. Father God, we come to you and we thank you for your word. Father, we ask that you would reveal to us any way in which we are struggling to follow you. Father, help us where we lack trust. Help us where we lack fear. Help us where we lack honor. Father, help us to follow you day in and day out, clinging to the promises that you have given us. Father, we need you to guide us. We need you to provide for us. And we need you to sustain us. And we know that you have promised to do those things. And that one day we will be with you and you will be blessing us beyond all measure. But until then, help us to remember the way that you bless us even here and now, as we follow you through your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.